The very first word of the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, is happy. Psalm 1, word 1. Traditional rabbinic interpretation of Hebrew scripture would not consider this to be incidental or accidental. Certain forms of Jewish biblical interpretation consider every word, every letter of every word to be carrying potential meaning, the possibility of revelation. And so it's worth considering that the Psalter, a whopper of a book with 150 songs spanning lamentation through praise, despair through joy, the range of human emotion, this significantly large book of Hebrew scripture begins with the word happy. It begins by telling us who it is that's happy. Happy, as we might understand it in English, doesn't really capture the Hebrew word it's attempting to translate. Ashrei is the Hebrew word. This kind of happy isn't a fleeting moment of upliftedness, a transient emotional response to something that's just made us smile. Ashrei happy is perhaps better understood as a deep state of peace, an abiding rightness that's found when we're living most fully into our relationship with God. The happy of the psalmist is the result of a covenantal way of living. It's what arises from an ongoing life practice. It's not what we're aiming for. It itself, it's not a destination emotion. It's the way of living that yields this happiness, that yields Ashrei. That's what the psalmist is pointing us to. What's understood as ultimate here is living rightly before God, living rightly before God, growing in righteousness and holiness is our task, our call, and happiness, being happy, is the fruit of such a life. Our dominant culture, our very loud dominant culture, would have it a little different. It would have us believe that the pursuit of happiness is in fact our task. And so it has us set our sights on all those things that make us happy, even if only for a moment. And it encourages us to pursue them relentlessly in order to be happy continuously. And so we pursue happiness, we chase it with a dogged determination. Personal achievements and successes, new things, possessions, entertainment, excitement, any and all things that make us feel good, that'll make us happy. If only for a moment. We chase the promise of happiness as the way to be happy. But this happiness doesn't last, and sometimes it can't even be grasped. There are, undoubtedly, many things in life that make us genuinely and authentically happy. But living in such a way that these things become our source of happiness, this will always keep us from being Ashrei, from being happy in the way the psalmist describes. To be happy for the psalmist, to be Ashrei, is to know fully and deeply the fruit of Ashrei aligning behaviors and attitudes. These behaviors and attitudes are our human responses to God's scriptural commands. That we must love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, and we must love one another as ourselves. That we must do justice, love goodness, and walk humbly with our God. That we must feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, visit the prisoner, that we love one another as Christ loved us. All these commands, these scriptural commands, at their heart, their essence, are relational. Each one of these commands requires our acknowledgement that we are, like it or not, in relationship with one another, with the planet, and with God. For those of us whose cultural inheritance is individualism, living this reality and being obedient to these scriptural imperatives, not just doing good things or good deeds for some people some of the time, but actually living in the fully relational way we are called to live by God. For those of us formed within and by this individualistic culture, this is hard. And perhaps it's because in an individualistic culture, a human person can be thought of in some ways like an onion. Bear with me. Because like an onion, the outer layers are different for each of us. They're impacted by and shaped by where and how we were raised. But peel them away, and contained within us, within is the essential us, the essential human we feel, that part of us that exists once all the outer layers have been removed. With this way of thinking, we get good at separating ourselves from our environment. We can very easily conceptualize our autonomy. We begin to actually see ourselves as discrete, self-contained individuals. We come to believe that there is actually something that remains when we peel away the richness of our social context, peel away our relationships, our communities, our environment. It's this way of thinking that tricks us into believing that we alone create our good fortune or bad. We alone are responsible for our successes and our failures, our prosperity, our hardships. Given this view of self, individualism also tempts us to judge others for their circumstances or situations. This way of understanding being human as an individual is a long way from being of one body. This way of understanding is all about being separate, autonomous, independent. Let's not be onions. Fortunately, this is just one way of seeing it. The self, me as an individual, for instance, I can instead understand myself as a part of the collective whole, knitted into community with others, and knitted into the very place and time in which I live. My environment, my relationships, geographic location, my time in history, none of this is merely an influence on who I am. Instead, it actually constitutes who I am. It makes me who I am. I am not someone who has relationships. I am who I am because of my relationships. because of where I live and when, I cannot be separated from any of these things. I am, we all are, undeniably interconnected and interdependent. We are smudged together, each of our lives, one with the other and with the planet, and ultimately and most significantly, with God. Individualism, as we experience it today, is peculiarly modern and peculiarly Western, and it is not consistent with the gospel view of the human person. The fruit of a life lived in and as relationship, the fruit of a life fully open and receptive to God's presence, life that's cultivated rightly to be responsive to the life-giving reality of God. This is what's illuminated in the healing justice Jesus speaks to in today's gospel reading. In our English translation, we heard the word blessed. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry. But this is, in fact, a translation of the Greek word that means ashrei, happy, as the psalmist would have us understand it. We are being called to pay attention to the way we live. Being happy, ashrei, it's important. Happy are we when we are freed of the illusion, the delusion of individualism. Happy are we when we come to truly understand how each of our lives is inseparably bound, smudged up in and with the lives of others, when we see that all our decision-making, all our actions have consequences for others directly and indirectly. Happy are we when we come to Jesus, when we hear his words, and when we cultivate our lives rightly and intentionally in response. And happy are we when justice and liberation, when restoration to God and one another in Christ becomes what is ultimate, becomes our reason, becomes what guides our living and being, because that is the fruit. That is what it is to be happy.